Okay. So, what are we? What was the last thing we worked on? Basically, last time we got together,
planning to do Chesed and a do-over.
And the what?
A do-over of thinking Hashem. Connecting.
Hashem. So, what do you have to say?
No fireworks, but it was good.
Hashem, listen. We don't aim for fireworks.
No,
do you have anything you want to say? No.
Okay.
The second week was much more difficult than the first. The first week it was, I don't know, it was just easier. I had it in mind more and I was able to plan. The planning of it was very interesting, having the actual plan. I know we did it last year, but, you know, to think of, okay, I'm actually going to plan, even if it was something small, the planning of it was very interesting.
I always thought coming home from shul, okay, I'll do dishes for my wife today, or like I always thought of something as I was walking home from shul. I just found that time to think of something.
What's your first name again?
Hoshea.
Hoshea. After a couple of years.
Okay.
Do you have anything else
to say? I agree with Moshe in the fact the first week was an easier week to do it than the second week, possibly in my mind because it was fresher, it was something new and exciting, and then it became more difficult the second week. That being said, I found myself sitting for long periods of time in the evening trying to think of an act of chesed to do, and what I learned from it was that how sad it is that I need to spend so much time planning ahead an act of chesed rather than just the day of and seeing something and just doing it, which obviously is easier to do in one sense, but oftentimes we don't do it because, well, we're just busy and we go about doing other things. So it was very instructive on a number of different levels.
Okay. That over there that was different, but say the other one, you know, the first one with trying to connect with the Shina Barcelona. The truth is that I think I mentioned this that the Uvdas that we do here, the system that we have, we usually do for a week, sometimes 2 weeks, and then we go on to something else. All the Uvdas, every one of them, if we adapted them as a way of life to do it, you know, all the time, it would be marvelous. But in the system that we have here, we do it, we taste it, we partake in it, we have an on-hand experience in it, and eventually we come back to it again. And I found in the course of the years of the vibe, people from having the hands-on experience of doing it, sometimes feel that it's something that they're missing in life, or something they want, and they have a real life experience of the Uvda, and very often people continue on their own different Uvdas that we do here, right? But part of the system is that we just do it for a week or two. This Uvda that we've been doing, you know, connecting to Hashem, the truth is that it's really a way of life. And if there's any, if ever Uvda that suggested that we should continue, I would suggest this Uvda, because it's really making a Shavu an integral part of your life. Everything that we do is centered around Hashem, and the more that we can draw from our personal kesher with Him is very resourceful. So the Bishop Shem will give out officially we've done it, and like all the other Ubdis, now Shanti Urzim, we're just making a suggestion that every Ubda that I think that to consider, you know, continue doing it on your own, like it is Ubda. It's again the essence of our whole existence and our whole Yiddishkeit. It's all based on the sensory perception, the feeling of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this Ubda helps very much, you know, to get to that, to feel that. I also just want to mention something very, very important tonight, Rabbi Zay. We're living very obviously in a time now, an era, of a very, very, very good sakana. Baruch Hashem. It's a gift of Hashem that we're in the matzah here, that we relax and we can sit and come, you know, we come to a shir and hear the shir. It could be if we knew what's really going on around, maybe we didn't have the head, you know, to come to sit like this, even though this is important, but it's Hashem, but if we understood the extent of the sakana that lurks, I don't know if we'd have the nerves to be able to sit and, you know, relax here in the chair. Almost like Gemara says in Brachas that the kinds of mazikim that are in the ear, you know, if a person was able to see them, they wouldn't have they would have the peace of mind, you know, they would faint from pachad. Who knows what's going on? It's a very, very pachad situation. Very. Chaim Lozhin says in the Nevi Shachaim in Shara Gimel, he talks about this avoider
in Shir.
He talks about this avoider of connected with the Bnei Shalom. You know, and focusing, so full concentration on any umavado. There's nothing in the world except Rech Hashem. It's like it's exactly the chayyim what Ubda is. And he says in Nevi Shachaim in Shara Gimel, he says that it's a skula, bodog b'nusa, that can be a source of protection. You know, in case of sakana, doing this avoider of it's not just the intellectual thought, but you connect yourself with the Bansham, the Eno Mubada, like you concentrate and you lose yourself in the Hakara. There's nothing in the world except Hashem, that avoider. So I just want to say that in the Shemayim, the Hashkach Protius, in Shemayim, that we've been doing this the last couple of weeks, Hashem should help us, Hashem Yerachem, that we should not have to do it, you know, in case of emergency. But I mean, what we've been doing really is that we've been preparing ourselves that Hashem Yerachem, that should be Matan Sakana. So we have a Neshek, we have a weapon with us, you know, that we've been working on. Of course, we see by doing it, it's not so easy to do, right? You spend weeks and weeks trying to, you know, to concentrate and trying to do it. It's not an easy thing to do. You go over to somebody and say, you know, this is a segula. So you tell to them what, you know, that they can do it, they can't do it, they don't know. But we, the Hashkacha Pratiyas, that we've been working on this for a few weeks now. I'm just telling you that you should know that this thing, you shouldn't have to use it. But it's something that you have now. It's a weapon you have with you. In our group here, Hashkacha, we've worked on this thing, which is a very, very strong weapon. in their time. You have to show them we shouldn't have to use it. You know, for sakana. I remember we were here at the 6 day war. You know, it was Torah Or. He came with Rav Scheinberg, and we came in 1965. The 6 day war was in 67. So we were here during the war. And, we're sitting in the Bet Yisroel Diskin in the bottom, in a very, very shvacha miklat. Like if there had been a direct hit there, it would have been terrible. And there was actually shells falling over the place, and a battle going on. The street became a battlefield. Not just a battlefield. Nobody should ever know what feeling it is. The civilians to find themselves in the middle of hand-to-hand combat and shells falling all over the place. And as we're sitting there in the darkness of like Kreuzes Mitzrayim, weren't allowed to light a match, nothing. Even a cigarette, nothing. You know, they said that the light can go out, that it was like utter darkness in the bottom there. But that was thick darkness. And the Scheinberg called together all the Talmidim. In the midst of the shelling, and the was terrible. The sounds of the shells and the shooting. He got us around, and then he told the oil, this Nefesh HaChayim, that he told everybody that they should, in this matzah now, that they should make sure to concentrate on the, he called everybody together, Nefesh HaChayim. So, again, I hope that we shouldn't have to make use of it, but as Chazal, we prepared ourselves, we know what it is, and I think it's a big chesed that you should maybe share it with your family, and your friends, It's been a terrible sakonis, Erev Shabbos, they shoot a missile, by the Shemayim. Yes, they just wanted to prove the point, that let us know that, that they have such things like that, I mean, I was there for the siren. The siren go off in July. And that's where it fell. Some of the people appreciate the extent of the net. It didn't have to fall where it fell. It could have fell, for the same reason it fell there. It could have fell on the face anywhere in July. Just coming here now, somebody told me that just now a very big mess happened in Tel Aviv.
I want to get your phone number. You were here last week for a couple of minutes, and I don't have your phone number.
He's English. It's a different number system.
Sorry,
I didn't know that. Because they just somebody just told me that two missiles that they almost fell on Tel Aviv. You heard about it?
Yeah. Cologne.
Yeah.
Cologne.
Yeah, they stopped it just like you were. I'm just saying that so you should share this, I think with your family, with your friends, this is a school of the Bristol Rav, the Belleville, and his family, they miraculously escaped from Germany. And they were going from checkout point to checkout point, and the Nazis had, of course, falsified papers and everything, and they were going from checkout point to checkout point, and the Nazis were letting them through like it's a nest. I mean, but Hashem, it was better to be safe. We have them here. We had them here. We have his children here. But he told the family they're riding in this coach, there's a wagon, the horses. He told them that they shouldn't be Matsiach Das in the Inner Mavada. The whole family, all the children, it take your head off the concentration of Enum Avado. And they went back to one, the Nazis, they were out to kill, murder, and miraculously they let them through. If they were examined the papers, and obviously they would have seen that it's forged and everything, but they would just, like, let them through, like not just for reason. And at one checkout point, they started having trouble. And then, you know, it looked like they're going to start investigating, and then, okay, go. The Brisker go. After they got through and they let him go, he turned around to the family and said, I told you not to be Masiach Das. again, hopefully we didn't have to use it, but this exercise they did, it just Hashkocha Pratius, that came out that we did it now, when it's so, I hope that we'll never have to use it, but you should, to yourself, you should continue, I think, doing it, you know, if you only avoid it, and especially in this period now, you know, that, Chatzom, never avoid yourself in the Mokom of a Sakana, so, this is the avoid that should be done. Okay, good, Rabbi Tzai. So, Rabbi Moshe, maybe I don't want to repeat the whole thing. I said, but get some over here for something very, very important.
Okay, sometimes.
Okay, good. Okay, so Rabbi Tzai, what I'd like to do with you tonight is that we should go on to Yitzchak Avinu, right? First, we spoke about Gracious, that's how we got this thing of the Enom Avado, because of the Gracious Boiler Kinefish, right? It was Oritz. That's the implication of this. Then we went on to Noah and Avram Avinu, that Noah was saved because there was Avav Reyes Benehem, and Avram Avinu picked up on that theme also, and his main avodah was Yachas to the Sheni, caring about the Sheni, and he created a club that was based on this. And that club is what we call today Klal Yisrael. You know, he made a vad. Avram Avinu was the Rosh Avadim. He made a vad, worked on Avinu Chaveru, and that vad, you know, eventually bubbled out to be Klal Yisrael. And his main uvdum was chesed, caring about people. Incidentally, by that, I just want to, in light of what I just mentioned to you before, about the time of Sakana now, I just want to mention also that, also, like in a time like this, when Rahman Islam is such a big, you know, time of Sakana, that, also, a very big schooler is to be especially alert and upgrade even in Chavero. You know, the smiles in the morning, smiling, all these the Enom Chavero things. Like, you see, in that story, I mean, the Chazal, that the Zohar blogger, that they were Mori, that was Borobu, and they were Kaifer and Mori. And it seems that from the actions they really deserve to be destroyed, but because of Abba Reyes, that saved them, right? So doesn't that say something? It's a person wants to have seclusive, you know, in the time of Sakona, right? So that says something. Like, what could be a schooler in the time of Sakona? We hear such a chazal like that. So the Abba Reyes, so we should be Mahadeh in the morning to say good morning, give a smile, right? Greetings and rechet for somebody. You're looking for schoolers, you know, for seclusim, such a time like this. So, besides that schooler that we spoke about before, the Beyon Chavero is a tremendous also schooler for Hatzolah, such a matzav like this. Also, part of the Hashkocha that we worked on this also. We worked on this. These two things that are really schoolish, times of Sakona, and Hashem should help them. We shouldn't need it, and we shouldn't, everything, you know, should calm down, and everything should be shalom. Chas v'shalom, find ourselves makom sakana, like one big thing that he can do as a shkula is upgrade, you know, your berach ha'ero, pleasant, nice, mild. Everybody said, okay, again, I hope that we shouldn't have to use these things, you know. The chesed now, like in America, people doing the chesed that they're doing in New York area, the tremendous chesed in America now, helping people, the thousands and thousands of people that are homeless, you know, money, because hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions and millions and millions of dollars of loss, and people had their homes destroyed, all their possessions. Mamish, you know, this hurricane, unbelievable, the loss took place over the year, and they spent it, families, and the possessions and money to the homes that they invested to build the homes, and they have no way to live now. It took them hundreds of thousands of dollars to rebuild the home, find a place to live. People that were settled in houses, and, you know, scoring all their possessions after years and years. The lifelong possession, the family, things they have, everything is wiped out. You know, so, you know, a lot of people in America now, Baruch Hashem, the whole other came from Baltimore, I think like a group of 100 people came from Baltimore, you know, like to, you know, to help, you know, take out the water, drain out the water, and work for the Nef and Nefesh. From all over, people are thinking. Sometimes that the whole thing happened, it could be because the people in America now in some kind of a sakana there also, and they need this inclusive of chesed, so the Baruch Hashem makes such a thing like happen, so that not the pshat is happening now, the inclusive of the chesed. Sometimes Hashem makes it happen because so that it will come out, the awesome chesed that people are doing, that the thing happens, so that it will do the chesed, you know. Of course, Hashem has many components when he does things. You know, other things could have happened. You know, but there's no question that the tremendous chesed that the Yidden are doing out there in America to help these people is a very big success for them. Okay, good, Rabbi Zayi. So we're about to go on to Avoda now. Avoda. Yitzchak is the Yidden of Avoda. He's the side of Avoda. That's the main thing. Avoda, we know it's. The main thing is kabbonah. We don't have the kabbonah today. But we have the word of tefillah, which is in the place of the kabbonah. So, basically, I want to give to you an uvda, a gemaltic uvda that we have, you know, for tefillah. I'm sure our veterans here that we've done this uvda problem here. All the Uvdas, if I say, the system of how we work things here is that from time to time we repeat the Uvdas. That's the whole system that we get back to them, we do them again. So this is one of the Uvdas I'm sure that we've done here in the past. This Uvda is a very strong, powerful Uvda that's very Mishkanesre, which really connects to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the purpose of this Uvda. The Uvda is, if I say, is that when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, whenever you come to the word Ato, but get this straight here, the Ato that we're referring to is the Ato that's in the Bracha, Baruch Ato. In other words, in a number of places in the Shemoneh Esrei we say Ato, like Ato Choinein or Ato Gibor, like but the Ato, the Uvda that we're talking about, is we're limiting only to the Ato that's in the framework of a Bracha, a Ruch Ato, right? The other Atos, so we're not doing it as an Uvda, right? So, if I say, Maisa, the Uvda, that we want to do is as follows. Now, it's like many of the other Uzzahs. Sometimes it looks like a small thing, but the Tawelis is very, very great, as they say. It's very, very great. The Tawelis, the accomplishment with it is much greater than meets the eye. Is whenever you come to the word Atah, Baruch Atah, so you pause for a moment and you think, what does the word mean? What does that word mean, Atah? And who are you saying it to? Those two things. Right? Never you say Baruch. So before you say the word Atah, so you pause for a moment and you think in your mind, what does this word mean? And who am I saying it to? That's what it is. Right? You'll see, B'shas Ma'aseh B'Zayin, it's a very, very powerful Uzza, very, very powerful, has a very big effect on the davening. Another, Chazal Baruch Hu, when he used to give us this Uzza, he used to always accompany it with Eitz HaTov. He used to always tell us, you know, they're digging and hugging. Some people daven with a siddur, some people daven without a siddur. Right. Some people find they have more kavana if they daven without a siddur. You used to tell us that if you're one of these people that daven without a siddur, and you do this uvda, you should daven with a siddur. Because it's so powerful, this uvda, that very often, even though you say the whole bracha, like with the kavana, or Baruch Aleinu, or Hashem Elokeinu, or Hashem Elokeinu, and say the mamash kavana, you say, Baruch, and you do the uvda. So, the question, you don't know we're holding him. Cognizant of who you are. So if you have a sitter open, you hold your hand in the plate. You'd be surprised how many times, like, you feel that split your hand, your fingers here, because if you wouldn't do that, you wouldn't know where to continue. That's how powerful this is. It's like knowledge takes over. Okay, but I just want to also mention to the audience a very interesting thing that I don't know if any of you ever thought about this, but the proper way when you talk to somebody if you have their Asherah score, so the way for the talk is the third person, right? But they talk to a big rug, you know. You gave a very nice Russia this week. You gave a very nice Russia. You talk to a big rub, you say, the rub got a nice Russia this week. When you talk to a Russia person, he's the third person. And here, so even to a Russia person, you say, now you talk to the Bunisha and you say, Ato. You ever think about that, the right guy? Oddity of talking to Hashem and say Atah. Like, we're so used to it, like, because we don't even think about it. Like, you come to the Siddur, state the Siddur. That's the Siddur Atah. So, you just give me the Nusach, I'll say it. Like, it's not for us to question. Like, Hana Chazal, talking about it. But you just say, Halavai, I should just be good. A good boy, and David says, Mesirah, says, whatever it says here, I say. But a lot of times, because of that, you don't even stop to take note the unusualness about it. It's strange, But the Maisa, the strangeness is Emes. Like, the Sforum Tachis speak about it. They give explanations. The Balatanya speaks about it, and the Shechayim, they feel it, incumbent upon themselves to explain it. Because it is a question. It is a very good horror. Like, really, we shouldn't be saying it that way. We should be saying it in a certain place. So the fact that they did Mataka like that must be a reason. So the Balatanya and the Nefeshachayim, other Sforum, they try to explain what's the pshat. One Chazal will be talking about it. There is an explanation, but very often, like, we don't have the kasha, we don't have the teretz. No, it never bothers us. No, We don't feel uncomfortable playing Castle. We don't need the parrot. But the truth is that if we really focus on what we're saying, like it should bother us. You know? So sometimes you do this uvda, so sometimes you get that feeling, you know, like, is that right to say that Hashem Atzel, which is a good feeling. If you feel that way, so now, you know, like you're, I mean, no chiv to feel embarrassed, but I'm just saying that if you get that feeling, so you should know you're in the right place, because it is strange, and the fact that we're finally feel the strangeness of it. So that means that we're concentrating properly on the word. Right? Okay, what we're saying. All right? So, Be'ez Hashem is Barach. So, the other of the bad thing about Hashem, as far as the Maisa, official Kabbalah of the Vad, so we've done that, and you know, I have this Eitz Teiva leaving you with that. Maybe Stam, it's a good way of life to continue doing it, but especially in our times, especially like a very valuable Eitz, you know, to continue and like that. And Chas Hashem, you know, it's never needed. And also the Chesed, you know, that remember that, you know, the tool, the Neshek that we have. And the Uvda Maitz is the Atar of Beis Hashem. I wish everybody Hatzlocha Gedela Ad Ma'oid Ad Ma'oid of Beis Hashem. Hashem should protect over Klai Yisrael, protect us and watch over us of Beis Hashem. That we should be sure to chamois to ourselves and all Klai Yisrael, the rabbis, the Zakoil, we see the really the big Yeshuas, the big Yeshuas to Mashiach Sekeinu before it. Thank you.